Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor Carolus.
Good afternoon, Zama. And also, good afternoon to the listeners.
Yes, how are you doing? Have you had a good day?
So far, so good. Thank you. All by the grace of God.
Oh, yes, indeed. All by the grace of God. Well, Pastor, we're continuing talking about this topic. It's been an exciting topic, actually. Absolutely enjoying this topic. Now, tell me, Pastor, in fact, before we get into it, I do want to welcome those who are listening as well. And if you're joining us for the first time today, we've been speaking to Pastor Hilmar Carolus, who's been talking to us since Monday about the Holy Spirit and the church. Of course, dissecting and really delving deep into the subject. He joins us once again to talk about the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts. And so the matter of spiritual gifts is one that we cannot avoid, you know, in any conversation about the Holy Spirit. And so today we want to find out what are they and how do they serve the church exactly. So, Pastor, the gift of the Spirit, could you please unpack this for us?
Yeah. Yesterday we spoke from Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll do so again, dealing specifically with the gifts. Ephesians 4 from verse 7, and I'm reading, but unto every one of us, that's very important, Zama, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So what we see here is that Christ himself was a gift. But when he left and ascended to heaven, he also gave gifts unto men. Yesterday we saw that that is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 then says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And verse 12 answers your question directly, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, I'll read 13 as well. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's a mouthful. Basically, Paul there is telling the Ephesians, or elaborating to the Ephesians what he also told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, speaking about the gift edifying the body, edifying the church. So how this works, Paul then also expounds on in Romans chapter 1. And, you know, sometimes we will answer questions that have not yet been asked, but it all works together. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says to the Romans, as he opens this letter to them, he says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Now, that verse could be interpreted as Paul saying that he would like to give gifts, that he would like to give a spiritual gift to the Romans. But a closer understanding or closer look at the verse is that Paul has gifts, but he would like to use one of those gifts in helping the Romans, the Christians in Rome, be established. And then he says, how? He says, that is, and he's now saying the same thing in different words in verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So what we see, Paul is explaining here how the gifts are to be used and how it relates to the church. We are to impart or use our gifts and allow the Holy Spirit to use it in order for the church, our brothers, our sisters, to be established. In this sense, to comfort together. So it seems also like Paul is from a point of privilege, one who has a gift, using that gift, but also in return, the other person will use their gift, and it will be from mutual faith. You know, Paul also says in Romans 14, verse 23, that anything that is not of faith is sin. Mm. So in other words, it is giving the, or using the gifts from a point of faith in order to establish faith, from faith to faith. And that phrase I get from the verse in Romans 1, verse 17, mm-hmm. after Paul has explained or said that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Mm. He explains what the gospel is. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the Holy Spirit gives a gift, and that gift is received by faith, and then it's also used to strengthen another's faith. I hope that answers the question.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. No, definitely does, Mfundisi. Now, how do this?
Before we continue, can I just add something
else? Yes, please do.
In First Peter chapter 4, First Peter, and we read chapter 4, also speaking about the gift, verse 11, says, verse 10 rather, verse 10 says, as every man has received the gift. Remember in Ephesians 4, it says that everyone has been given a measure of grace. In other words, every one of God's children, everyone that is in His church, those who do the will of the Father. Yesterday we said that the Holy Spirit is given to those who are obedient to the laws and statutes of God. So all those who obey have received the Holy Spirit, and each one has received at least one gift. There it says, minister the same one to another. Again, we find this that the gifts are there to edify each other in the church as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Then he continues to say, if any man speak as the oracles of God, if any man minister, if he do it as of the ability which God gives, that God, and here's the big reason, the overarching reason for the giving of the gift, which is to edify the church, the big reason is that God, in all things, may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when the church uses the gift given to them by God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because they have been obedient, when God gives the gift and it is used for its intended purpose, we then know that the Holy Spirit is working in that individual and through that individual. And, of course, the church is edified, and much more than that, God is glorified.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. Now, is there a difference, or can we differentiate between these gifts of the Spirit and talents?
Yes, I do believe that there is a case. In fact, in these verses, I believe that I have quoted, and we won't go there again, but I do believe that through these verses that we studied today, we will realize that a gift of the Spirit is only a gift when the Spirit is using that gift for the ministry or for the edification of the church.
Mm-hmm.
When a talent is being used that does not give God glory and does not edify the church unto salvation. And let me also say this, you know, we have been saved by grace through faith.
Mm.
And in this, in Ephesians chapter 4 and also in 1 Peter, we find that it's like Romans gives faith to faith, Ephesians and Peter also gives grace to grace. So as having received grace, we impart grace through using our gifts. And so when this is not happening, then that talent, I would call that an ability. Being able to do something. So the difference then is just because you are able to do something does not mean that that ability is necessarily a spiritual gift. We are all born with abilities. Someone is born with the ability to sing, for instance. Someone is born with the ability to speak well. Someone is born with the ability of being good administratively. But if any of these abilities does not translate into the edification of the church, the ministry of the church or in the church, and the glorifying of God through Jesus Christ, then you cannot call it a spiritual gift. It remains an ability.
It's just a gift or a talent, not a fruit of the Spirit.
It may be, you can even call it a gift. We try to, in my explanation, I'm trying to get away from the word gift because of the connotation to the Spirit. But you can call it a gift or a talent or an ability, but it's not a spiritual ability yet. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual talent if it's not used for what spiritual gifts are meant to be used for. And we can even go further.
Yep.
When someone sings and it's not to the glory of God, then it's obviously to the glory of self. And here's the problem with spiritual gifts. And even in the church, the early church, this problem existed. The problem was that when God endowed someone with spiritual gifts, they would forget the giver and focus on the gift. And instead of giving glory to the giver of the gift, they would pride themselves. People would just stand up in church, speak in tongues that they have been endowed with. And others would recognize that these are real tongues, even though they've not studied for it. Even though they weren't born into that culture, they were able to speak because the Holy Spirit had given them that gift. But once that gift was now used to bring glory to one's self, that gift no longer became a spiritual gift. But in some cases, it also becomes curses. And that's why I said yesterday that the basis of all godliness, the whole a foundation of God's government, of his church, is love. If it's not, and Paul even says, you may covet all these gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I'm showing you a much better way. And then he gives 1 Corinthians chapter 13, speaking about the gift of love. As we've received love, we also love each other. In fact, we cannot love others if we have not experienced the love of God in the first place, because it is love that begets love. We love because he first loved us. And so instead of trying to figure out what your spiritual gift is, I always say to people, rather ask God to give you a desire to minister to others, a desire to increase someone else's or to help grow someone else's faith. And when you ask that, God will then give you the spiritual gift that you so much need in order to fulfill the desire you have of reaching others and being a part of this great plan of salvation, of whom are, and we said on Monday, I think we said that the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, all together, all three beings, all three persons are involved in the salvation of souls.
Beautiful. Now, if one is given a spiritual gift, I want to get to the example that you made about, a person who sings, and they've been given a gift of the Spirit that they minister in the church for the edification of God's people, etc. And later on in life, they decide to venture with that very same spiritual gift. Now they go and sing out there outside of the church. Does it cease to be a spiritual gift? Because it's now no longer be used in the service of God?
Yes, it does.
With the same person.
Ceases to be a spiritual gift. It ceases to, from what we've said, it ceases to be a spiritual gift, but still it remains a gift. I'll give an example, a biblical one.
Okay.
In the church at Corinth, Paul, when he's speaking about, in fact, this is why Paul had to share about gifts to the Corinthians, because the very thing that was happening is what your question is. People have been, as received the gift of tongues, and this is where, because chapter 12 is all the diversity of gifts. Chapter 13 is the best of all, which is love. And then chapter 14 deals specifically with the actual issue. So Paul, in chapter 12 and 13, lays a foundation so that he can address a problem that exists in Corinth. And the problem was that people were getting up in church and speaking in tongues that the audience does not understand, even though it is a real language. And to make this more practical, I always say, so it's as if someone who is Shona speaking gets up in an English-speaking church and starts preaching in Shona, and none of the hearers are understanding. Now, that does not edify the church, because the church is only edified intellectually. In other words, someone who's hearing the gospel needs to hear it in its own tongue, and that's the very purpose of the gift of tongues. When Peter stood there at Pentecost in Jerusalem and he preached, everyone, and it's not only he preached, but others also spoke, and people from different walks of life, from different cultures and nations, could hear the message, the gospel, in their own tongue. But in the church of Corinth, people were bragging about the gifts that they had. That's why Paul has to say, if someone's going to brag about gifts of the Spirit, then I should be bragging because I speak more in more languages than all of you. You know, but Paul is bringing them back to the to why the gift was given in the first place. So there's no way that someone, now, of course, and here's the issue with God giving us gifts, is sometimes we don't lose the gift. But we do lose the spiritual connotation to that gift.
Oh, I see.
So someone will still be able to sing out in the world, glorifying themselves, and instead of edifying the church, breaking each other down, someone could still do that after having been used by the Holy Spirit to use that as a spiritual gift. But it's no longer a spiritual gift, because like with Saul in the Old Testament, when there was disobedience, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. So without the Spirit, it cannot be spiritual. Or it can't be a gift of the Spirit. Are we still together?
Yeah, we're still together. Now, let's conclude. Let's conclude our conversation. Can the church, because we're looking at this, a gift of the Spirit in the light of the church, can the church then make sure that everyone is given an opportunity to explore their gift and use it in his church?
You know, each of us has been given an individual responsibility with the gift that God has given each one. If we look at the parable of the talents, God did not hold all three of them responsible for the one unfaithful steward. But the use of our gifts are the responsibility of that use has to be on the individual. Having said that, every wise church leadership should be looking for ways in which gifts can be used and nurtured, because it is by the use of gifts that gifts are also multiplied, according to that parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25. And that parable falls within a trilogy of parables that is directly speaking to the church in the last days. We have the 10 virgins waiting. We have the stewards who are using their talents while they are waiting. And then, of course, we have the goats and the sheep. All of these are in the church. But the responsibility still falls on the individual. And the parable of the talents then is for the church. And when we ask, in fact, that is one of the gifts of a pastor or a bishop, is to be able, or any leader in the church, if you have a gift of leadership, the main purpose is to, as you are following Christ, is to use your leadership gift in nurturing the leadership or the leading out of other gifts in the church. So God will give you the wisdom. If you are seeking God's glory, He'll give you the wisdom to create a platform where these gifts, of course, are or can be used.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, I think we're going to be ending it there for today. It's an interesting subject, you know, a subject that we could actually explore until sunset. But I think for today, we can end it there. And we're going to be connecting again, same time tomorrow and same place. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you too, Zama.
Amen. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.